Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the question from the Catechism that we are considering tonight, it's helpful to go back one question. So the one that we considered last week, which is, what benefits does baptism give? And the answer is that it works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Think about what is being claimed here about baptism. It works forgiveness of sins, it rescues from death and the devil, it gives eternal salvation. These are not small things. So our question tonight naturally flows from that. How can water do such great things? Baptism is such a simple thing that it appears that it is not even very good at washing a body, much less being capable of forgiving sin, rescuing from death and the devil, and giving eternal salvation. Such grand things seem like they should require grand efforts, or at least a grand ritual. Baptism doesn't fit that bill. So, how can water do such great things? The answer is extremely simple. It can't. Water certainly can't do these things. But remember the definition of baptism that was given with the first question in the Catechism. What is baptism? Answer, baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Baptism isn't plain water, it's like wordy water. God's word has been stuck into it. It is God's word in baptism that makes it do what it does, together with the faith that trusts that word of God in the water. So let's take a moment and consider this active ingredient, if you will, in baptism of God's word. How did God create the heavens and the earth? Did he get out a mixing bowl and pour in the ingredients and stir it together and stick it in the oven? No. He spoke the world into existence. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. When God speaks, things happen. That makes God's word different than our word. I can say, "Let there be light," until the cows come home, but no light is going to be created. Unless, of course, God commanded me to do such a thing. Suppose that God said I should say, "Let there be light," and he promised that light would come about as a result. That would be an entirely different thing. In fact, this is how the miracles generally happen in the scriptures. God told Moses, for example, to stretch out his staff over the waters, that the waters would be divided and that they could escape from the Egyptians by walking through it. A person could ask the question, how can stretching out a staff over the water do such great things? And the answer would be, it can't. But when God tells you to do something and promises that it will produce results, then that is an entirely different matter. With this line of reasoning, you can understand something important about our sacraments. If God did not command baptism, if God did not promise that it saves, and if it were just something that Christians decided to do on their own, then it most certainly would be an empty and powerless thing. That would be like Moses deciding on his own that he's going to stick out this staff over the water. Without God's word, Moses could have stretched out his arm over the waters until it fell off. It wouldn't have divided the water in two. But if God tells you to do something and says what it will accomplish, then we should be absolutely certain about that. So with baptism, God says that we should apply water with the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He also speaks to the benefits of baptism when he says, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, whoever does not believe will be condemned. And he says, baptism now saves you. Since this is what God clearly says, he'd have to be a liar for that to not take place. The same thinking also applies to the sacrament of the altar. Without God's word, the bread would remain bread alone, and the wine would remain wine alone. But when Jesus says, this bread is my body, then what used to be merely bread is most assuredly Christ's body. Furthermore, Jesus tells us what the sacrament does for us. He says that the body of Christ is, quote, given for you. Concerning the cup, he says that it is, quote, the New Testament in his blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. If this is what Jesus says that it is, and this is what he says it does, then who are you to disagree with him? You can disagree with God all you want. That doesn't change what God does. Someone's unbelief can't undo God's actions. However, unbelief can make it so that a person is not benefited by God's actions. This also is an important teaching. It is important that we understand that baptism is totally effective, totally saving, just as the ark saved Noah and his family. Whether a person believes it or not doesn't change it whatsoever. However, if a person doesn't believe in it, then it won't give that person, it won't do that person any good. Noah's Ark is helpful for thinking about this, actually. Peter says that just as the Ark saved Noah and his family, now baptism saves us as Christians. So when we think of our baptism, we should think of the way that the Ark saved Noah and his family. Now, Noah built that boat not on his own initiative, not according to his own idea, but according to God's word and command. God promised that that boat would save him from the waters of judgment and death that were coming on the world. But suppose that Noah or any member of his family decided that what God had said wasn't true. If they wouldn't have believed what God had told them, then they wouldn't have been on the ark. Therefore, even though the ark is totally saving, it wouldn't have done that person any good because they wouldn't believe what God had said about that boat. God's grace, even though it most certainly was there, wouldn't help them. And this is the very thing that happened to the multitudes of people who thought that Noah was crazy. Let us not forget that what Noah did appeared to be as ridiculous as somebody building an ocean liner in Iowa. We're a long way from the ocean. It's hard to see how a boat sitting on dry land can do such great things. But that boat was included in God's command and combined with God's word, so it did what God said. But if people don't believe, it won't do them any good. The people at Noah's time didn't believe. And so even though the ark was totally effective, totally saving, it did those persons no good. Now let's apply this line of reasoning also to our own times, for it is highly relevant. Our Christian culture is petering out, and as a result, every single one of us knows dozens of people who were baptized but are no longer Christians. Some of them might be very open about that. They might say that the gospel is nothing but hogwash. That's relatively rare, though. It is much more common that people will claim to be like a kind of secret Christian, where they hold on to their faith in private. But this is a delusion. The truth is that they don't want to hear God's word. They don't want his sacraments. They don't want to encourage their fellow Christians. They don't want to congregate together so as to make the word of God more known among us. Actions speak louder than words, as they say. You can know whether a person is a Christian or not by observing whether they want God's word to be made known. All those who refuse to have anything to do with Christians or Christian congregations show by their actions that they are unbelievers, even if they protest to the contrary. So with all these people that we know who are baptized but no longer believe, we must properly understand what is going on with them so that we are not led astray into doing what they have done and so that we can help them return to the faith. Such people have been baptized. They have been given the ark of salvation. They have even been put on that ark. But with their unbelief, they are saying, this ark isn't doing me any good. And by their unbelief, they essentially jump overboard. Thus, even though their baptism has worked the forgiveness of sins, rescued from death and the devil, and given them eternal salvation, they end up blocking it and refusing it. The devil is a great liar, so he has all kinds of tricks that are tailor-made to accomplish this very thing with each and every one of us. So it's not surprising that so many walk away from their baptism. How can we help these people? There's nothing better that we can do for them than to make them realize where they are, namely, that they're in the waters of sin and judgment and death. But we may also offer them hope if they do not want to stay in that miserable state. In fact, we can offer to them what already belongs to them. We can encourage them to believe anew in the grace of God that has been given to them in their baptism. Sometimes people who fall away from the Christian faith think that they need to be baptized again when they return to becoming a Christian, but that's not true. There's nothing wrong with the baptism that they received. The problem was that they weren't believing in it. If someone had jumped off the ark in Noah's time, they wouldn't have had to have built a whole new ark, would they? What should they have done? Get back on that ark. Believe God's promise of salvation that's made, that's connected with that ark. The problem wasn't in God's ark of salvation. The problem was that they were deceived into disregarding it and disbelieving in it. What is needed is to return again to what God has said and promised. Then, even if a person quit believing in their baptism for many decades, the benefits of their baptism will no longer be blocked by their unbelief. They'll be able to enjoy those benefits even unto eternity. Despite baptism's humble appearance, it always remains the powerful thing that Jesus has made it to be. Simply believe what Jesus says, and it's yours. As he himself says, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.